Yo, this is Ballet to Harlem crew with brand new sound from New York City, Harlem to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. It's time to celebrate, yo.
That's Ballet to Harlem, music by Ethiopians, Americans, and other globalistas in New York City. Hello, Georges Collinet with you on Afropop Worldwide from PRX. Ballet to Harlem called their music World Flow, and that's a good image for our second Hip Deep program on Ethiopia. The subject this time is movement, the movement of music and musicians between Ethiopia and its diaspora communities around the world. On our first Ethiopia program, we explored Ethiopian history leading up to the revolution of the mid-1970s. That revolution squelched the sensational live music scene in Addis Ababa. But in 1991, the brutal 18-year Derg regime ended and a new era began. That's our subject this time on Ethiopia Part 2, Diaspora and Return. Once again, our guests for this program will be Kay Kaufman-Chelimé, Professor of Music and African and African-American Studies at Harvard University, and Francis Falsetto, producer of the 21-volume Ethiopics CD series. As we explore the Ethiopian diaspora, we'll visit the nightclub Dukem right here in my hometown, Washington, D.C. We'll speak with Hannah Shenkute, one of the featured singers there. We'll also meet Idan Reichel of Israel, who has incorporated the folklore of the Ethiopian community in Tel Aviv into mainstream Israeli pop. But this is not just a story about Ethiopians moving out into the world. It's also about going home. Here's Kay Chalamet.
There has been a return in the last several years of a number of Ethiopian musicians who were pursuing very active and lively musical careers in diaspora. Selesha Demessa, the wonderful Karar player who went to the University of Vermont and lived in Washington, played all over the states, is now back in Addis Ababa. There are people like Ephraim Timaru, who has a big new album. I heard him play for Ethiopian students in Watertown, Massachusetts about a year ago. So these folks are in transit. They are moving across boundaries, and their music is at home and abroad.
Ephraim Timaru is a huge star in Ethiopia today. Let's kick off with a track from his 2006 CD, Wala Ande Kocheshe.
Not
From Addis Ababa, the nimble voice of Ephrem Tamiru on Afropop Worldwide's Ethiopia Part 2, Diaspora and Return. The fact that musicians can move so easily in and out of Ethiopia is unique to our time. This was rare during the regime of Emperor Haile Selassie. And after 1974, with the rise of the Mengistu military regime, international travel was nearly impossible for musicians. It's hard to appreciate how radically things change in formerly swinging Addis after the revolution. Francis Falsetto experienced it firsthand.
Right after the beginning of the revolutionary period, the music scene was destroyed completely. The only nightclub which were allowed was a big hotel, just a Saturday night, but mainly for the diplomats and the NGO and the like. And you could stay the whole night locked into the hotel because of the curfew. You could not leave the hotel. But apart from that, there had no possibility to express itself, to get your living as a musician. So many tried to leave Ethiopia, to emigrate.
One who left was the young singer Hana Shenkute. She started her career in Addis with the Abyssinia Band and had to brave Mengistu's curfews.
Yes, at that time have curfew. After 12 o'clock, 12 a.m., the people is getting the nightclub until 5 a.m.
Hana now makes her home and performs in Washington, D.C. And if people stay all night, it's only because they love the music. We'll hear more from Hana Shenkute, but first, back in the 80s, Francis Falsetto discovered Ethiopian music through recordings. He was entranced by the sounds, but his first visit to Addis came as a shock.
I landed in a country which were under military and Stalinist dictatorship. For me, it was something extraordinary, in the sense that, unimaginable. The most visible thing was military everywhere. Imagine your city. I don't know. New York, Washington. For 18 years, nobody in the street from 8, 9 p.m. until 6 o'clock in the morning. Nothing, only military in arms and hundreds of dogs also. These people were killers. It was terrible for Ethiopia, and the whole music scene was destroyed. They tried to replace it by something like propaganda music, realist, socialist culture. You cannot compare propaganda music with soul music.
Kay Chalamet also experienced the Derg regime up close. As we heard in our previous Ethiopia program, she was doing ethnomusicology fieldwork there when the revolution began. After she left, Kay witnessed the rapid growth of Ethiopian communities in the United States.
I left Ethiopia right at the end of 1975, was back through 1978 intermittently, but I moved to New York to begin my teaching career in 1977. And I remember my first days in Morningside Heights. I was teaching at Columbia in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, being astonished. There were Ethiopians all around me. And 4 years earlier, I had gone to Ethiopia to do field work on music that was really available on one or two discs, but otherwise nowhere available outside Ethiopia. 4 years later, I sat in New York City with a large, thriving Ethiopian community around me, Ethiopian churches beginning to be established, a complete new world of Ethiopia abroad. It was really quite astonishing.
As traumatic as all this was, Kay reminds us that it was not the first time Ethiopian society had been devastated. In the 16th century, Muslims invaded from the south and destroyed much of Ethiopia's rich Christian heritage.
The way in which Ethiopians responded to the crisis of the Islamic invasion in the 16th century was to restore and perpetuate creatively the tradition that had almost been destroyed, and to invent anew, for example, a system of music writing. I would draw a parallel to the period we are now seeing post-Ethiopian revolution, which was cataclysmic within Ethiopia from 1974 to 1991. We're in a very short period since then, and I think we are seeing the creative response, the bouncing back from the period of cataclysm. It's actually, they're really kind of similar, almost in their length of time. Decade and a half of crisis, and then watching the period afterwards in which a people reconstitute traditions from before and move forward with new traditions.
If you visit Addis today, you'll find some of the most satisfying music in the city's Asmari houses. Asmaris are minstrels dating back to ancient Abyssinia. After decades of political repression, Asmaris are now reviving their traditions, honing their trademark double entendre poetry to new times. They call that poetry wax and gold, with the wax meaning on the surface and the gold hidden within. Listen to young Teje Desfaun, accompanied by the Masenko violin. She's singing, "I can't trust you, you are like a black cloud. How can you cure the sickness of love? You can't pluck it out like a bad weed." Contemporary Asmari music in Addis Abeba. Kay Chalamet tells a funny story about her recent return to Addis in June 2006. She went looking for a particular Asmari, only to discover that he had left for Washington, D.C., right here in her own backyard. Well, that's how it is these days. Everybody's on the move. Kay hadn't seen Addis since 1978, and a lot has changed. For one thing, the radio is no longer playing brass band funk or revolutionary songs. You're more likely to hear the polished pop of young singers like Ephrem Tamiru, Abby, or perhaps this guy, Ahmed Deshome.
I found Addis Ababa, of course, has quintupled in size. It's estimated at 4 to 6 million. It's a massive, overwhelming metropolis now. One sees the impact of the outflow of population too, especially of an educated middle class from the country to the diaspora. One tends to have more distance between the very rich and the very poor, with not a lot in between. One sees the impact of investment from Saudi Arabia. One sees a growing Muslim presence.
The simmering conflict with Eritrea, as well as the droughts and famines we've heard so much about, had taken their toll on Addis. But Kay was struck by a new feeling in the air. A place that had long been isolated is now open to the world.
I think the clearest statement about the connection of Ethiopia and its many diaspora communities and the musical life was that on Boli Road in Addis Ababa, when I was there in June, a huge billboard that had been up for some time advertising Dukum, which is probably the leading Ethiopian restaurant and nightclub in Washington, D.C. It also has a branch in Baltimore. But on Boli Road, a big beautiful billboard featuring Dukem and come and visit us in Washington, in Baltimore. And this is where a number of the best Ethiopian musicians in Washington, D.C. perform both traditional music and more popular Ethiopian styles.
Abede Teka fronts a small three-piece band on a recent Friday night at Dukem in Washington, D.C. Most of the music comes from a keyboard, but there is a bass player and also Menale Danyu on vocals and electric krar. That's the traditional Ethiopian lyre. The crowd at Dukem is substantial and nearly all Ethiopian. The big moment comes well after midnight, when singer Hana Shenkute takes the stage. Hana Shenkute began traveling between Addis and the U.S. in 1994. She moved to Washington permanently in 98 and now has four CDs on the market. So we asked Kay, are Ethiopian singers who record in the U.S. accepted back in Addis?
Oh, I think they're very accepted in Addis. Their music is very much appreciated. And one finds younger Ethiopian musicians like Hana Shenkute. She's terrific. And she's an excellent musician who can work in other styles, as well as singing really wonderful and traditional Ethiopian music.
When we met her between sets at Dukem, Hana Shenkute sang an a cappella version of Enate, a poignant song about her mother back home. Hana clearly misses Ethiopia, but we asked her how she feels about her new community in Washington.
Ethiopian communities, I think the community is a strong community. I don't know about the politics or something, but when you sick or when you somebody's, the family's dead or something, the community helping you. A lot of Ethiopian people lives in metropolitan area, more than 100,000 people. That's why the community is strong.
Hana does not come from a family of musicians. She didn't sing in church like other queens of Ethiopian pop, Gigi and Aster Aweke. In fact, Hana had no formal training, only a gift from God. She does cite one role model from the Golden Age, Hirut Bekele, who sang with the police band back in the 70s. Sheleme says Hana Shenkute stole the hearts of Ethiopians when she recorded a song called Imie Ethiopia.
her song, Umye Ethiopia, My Mother Ethiopia, it's a ballad about the country, kind of an up-tempo, rousing song. She has an interesting arrangement of it. You have the traditional Masenko playing, as well as a band, and a very catchy chorus. This song surely was sung in the 80s during the Ethiopian Revolution, and I'm actually not sure who composed it. But here it's in a recording made by Hanna in the late 90s and published in the States.
The Ethiopian song is special for me. The name is Umye Ethiopia. I love my country, that's why this is one special for me. They say this Ethiopia, how are you, my country? How are you? How's everything? Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, Agarachin, Ethiopia, Enatachin. Ethiopia.
From Ethiopia via Washington, D.C., Hanna Shenkute on our tour of the Ethiopian diaspora. You can read our complete interviews with Kay Sheleme and Francis Falsetto on our website, afropop.org. Coming up, Ethiopians in Israel, the great Teddy Afro, and jazz meets Ethiopian pop. I'm Georges Collinet, and you're listening to Afropop Worldwide from PRX. The Admas Band, formerly based in New York City. Its leader, Abegas Shota, has now gone back to Addis and is an important producer there. For Kay Sheleme, he's a model of the new reality for Ethiopian musicians.
Abegas has been involved with Gigi, with all of the musicians who are recording today. He has produced, he performs on the keyboard. An enormously creative force, has a sound studio now in Addis Ababa, and is involved with teaching young Ethiopians at the Yared School in Addis. So he's an example of someone who is, I think, living his life as a musician, both in Ethiopia and abroad, and has been both places and might be anywhere at any moment you choose to call him.
For Francis Falsetto, producer of the Ethiopics CD series, stories like this are the exception. Francis sees a dark side to the predicament of Ethiopian musicians in North America.
Ethiopians are very special immigrants. Shall I say they're not very good at integrating themselves in the country? They just recreate a kind of little Ethiopia, staying together. And you can observe that since the beginning of this immigration 30 years back, there is not at all a crossover of Ethiopian music produced in America in the all-American audience. They stick together, and many of them even have abandoned the scene and are doing other job. But there are a lot of the veterans of the Golden Age based in America, a lot in Washington, D.C. area, in Los Angeles, in Texas, in Colorado, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in Toronto, also in Canada. In a way, it's a bit of a disaster. The Ethiopian musical scene in America is not in very good health, I would say, unfortunately, even if there are still a lot of good elements.
And speaking of good elements, we can't move on without sampling the music of Esther Awoke. Longtime Afropop listeners will remember our early years when we chronicled the rise of this extraordinary singer. Truly the first crossover to an audience beyond the Ethiopian diaspora. Remember her priceless 1989 rendition of the classic Tizita. Wow, the incomparable Esther Awoke with her version of Tizita, a song near and dear to the heart of Keshelemi.
Oh, Tizita is sort of the all-time Ethiopian favorite song. It means nostalgia, it means longing. When someone sings Tizita, they are singing a song of longing for country, for a lover. And you can imagine that Tizita has had continued reverberations. I don't know how old Tizita is. I assume it comes out of the Highland tradition. And it has surely had a very lively existence in the years during and since the revolution, when everyone has been nostalgic for what came before. And within diasporic life, surely nostalgic for homeland.
These days, the Ethiopian crossover mantle has passed to another amazing singer, Gigi. Gigi had the good sense to move to New York City, marry producer and bass player Bill Laswell. Gigi has produced a string of highly creative albums that have been successful both within and beyond the Ethiopian community. Let's sample Gigi's latest from the 2006 release, Gold and Wax. Samulai
samulai dar revokat garo kanyutu abaletne tenen takanyu wakan basamulai dar revokat garo
The gorgeous voice of Gigi from her CD, Gold and Wax. Great stuff. There's a song on this CD called Jerusalem, and it brings us to another fascinating corner of the Ethiopian diaspora, Israel.
Now, this is interesting. From the perspective of Ethiopia, there is an Ethiopian diasporic community in Israel made up of the people now known as the Ethiopian Jews, the Beta Israel, formerly the Falasha of Ethiopia. From the perspective of that community, they are now home in Israel. So again, one has different perspectives on homeland and diaspora, and this is a particularly complicated one. The Ethiopian Jews were an indigenous Ethiopian people who acquired Jewish traditions and who over time identified very, very closely with Jews from abroad, especially once in the 19th century they were actually in contact with Jewish communities abroad as a result of European visitors. And in the 20th century they sought to immigrate to Israel. They were recognized as Jews on a biblical basis, as descendants of the tribe of Dan in 1973. Just before and during the early years of the Ethiopian Revolution, they were seeking to immigrate to Israel, just at the point at which the entire country, speaking of Ethiopia, basically shut down with the revolution.
The culture of Ethiopian Jews in Israel has recently gained visibility thanks to a young Israeli producer and musician named Idan Raikel. We met Idan recently in New York City when he brought a touring version of his musical collective, the Idan Raikel Project, to B.B. King's nightclub. Idan told us how Jews managed to emigrate from Ethiopia to Israel despite the Derg regime.
Around the 80s, when the Israeli government decided that you gotta bring our brothers back home, they decided to do it in one night operation. It was an amazing operation because in one night, thousands and thousands of Jews left their villages without telling anybody to cross by foot. Some of them were walking for 300 kilometers, crossed the borders to Sudan. And then in the camps of Sudan, the Israeli Air Force brought in one night Jews from Ethiopia to Israel. In two operations, I mean, once in the early 80s and one in the early 90s, Moses operation and Solomon operation. At the end of this operation, there were 60,000 Ethiopian Jews that brought to Israel.
It was only by chance that Idan encountered and became intrigued by Ethiopians living in Israel.
I was a guide in a boarding school. I guided their teenagers that were immigrated alone from Addis Ababa or from the camps of Sudan. And it's very sad to see, you know, the old Ethiopian, which it's a very gentle community. You see them influenced by the rap or the Jamaican community, which is nice, which is a beautiful community, but it's not the truth of them own. I think the one side effect, I have to admit, it's not the main goal, but one side effect of the project is having Kabro Kasai and Wogder Aswasa and many others, about 70 of them, that are singing the lead vocal in a track that hit the chart.
מגע בידייך שיבוא ויעיר למשמע כל צחוקי
נו 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 קנצה לגודי נו 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 קנצה לגודי
ממעמקים קראתי אלייך בואי אליי מול ירח מאיר דרכך שוב אליי נפרסו ונמסו מול מגע של ידייך באוזנייך לוחש שואל מי זה קורא לך הלילה הקשיבי נשאר בקול אלייך אל חלומך מי שם נפשו שתהיה מאושרת מי ישים יד ויבנת ביתך מי ייתן חייו ישימה מתחתייך מי כאפר לרגלייך יחיה יואבך עוד מכל אוהבייך בלי מכל רוח רעה יצילך ממעמקים
ממעמקים Out of the Depth is influenced by Psalms. Out of the Depth, I cry to you, O Lord. There are lots of biblical influence, although it's in different languages. So, Mima Makim, sang by Wogder Aswasa, one of the lead singers also in the live concert. He will immigrate 10 years ago from Addis Ababa. He is a lead singer in the underground clubs, the Ethiopian clubs in the old central bus station in Tel Aviv.
That's Kabra Kasai, another Ethiopian singer in the Idan Raquel project. Kabra was born during the Moses operation in 1980. She never visited her homeland until the project did a concert there in 2006. But even in Israel, Kabra grew up with Ethiopian music.
Of course, in my house. Oh my God, every Friday, it's every shishi, you know, it's the preparing for Shabbat. My mother, she has to hear it. I used to play, I have all the memories in my head, all the songs, the specific singers that she likes. Every time, 6 in the morning, on the time, there is music, Ethiopian music. Yeah, I born to the Ethiopian music only through my mother. Because my mother, when she's cooking, she's singing, and suddenly you see her dancing. And also when I'm going to private family, you know, weddings, bat mitzvahs and everything, this is exciting to see it, to see all of the ceremony that they're dancing, and there is the special drums that my father is making. That's also one of the things that my father brought for me, the beat, Ethiopian beat.
Kabra believes that future generations of Ethiopian Israelis would not lose touch with the music of their homeland.
I'm sure because there is a lot of clubs in Israel, of Ethiopian clubs, you know, that people are coming on stage and singing in Amharic. It's a huge success. And also there is a lot of artists from Ethiopia who comes to perform in Israel, you know, in all the holidays. And it's, you know, selling tickets, booked, or the whole stadium is full and it's... Yeah, I don't think that they will forget it because it's a great music.
Now, remember what Francis Falsetto had to say about the isolation of Ethiopians in North America? Idan Raquel hopes things will be different for Israel's Ethiopian community.
The story of the Ethiopian immigration, I think it's a success for the country and for the government to bring them all. But the real challenge is that the Ethiopian community will define themselves as Israeli. That they were immigrants from Ethiopia. Because I'm an Israeli guy, and I know that my grandparents were immigrants from Russia, but I not define myself as a Russian guy. I'm Israeli that got Russian roots. So I think the main challenge is that the Ethiopian community in Israel will define themselves as Israeli and just later on as Ethiopian. It's a very new immigration. I think it will take a generation or two until you can judge it. And I think until then, the Israeli society gotta be aware that you got a minority, a group that gotta build for itself role models and to hold positions that make the teenager proud and not to cause all these identity problems, you know. They will still keep their own beautiful behaviors or ceremonies and stuff. You know, one thing about integration is not to change your neighbor, it's about respect him and just to do things together.
Keisha LeMay looks at the shifting landscape of music worldwide and she's excited by the possibilities.
Musical discourse has changed and the whole relationship of the African musician to music internationally has shifted. I'd say the stakes have gone up appreciably. And young Ethiopian musicians, especially those in the post-revolutionary context from the 90s of the last 15 years, we're almost 15 years out from the revolution now, they are making international careers, they're traveling back and forth, and some of them are commanding huge audiences. Teddy Afro, for example, who is a very creative musician, heavily influenced by reggae.
Now, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Tewodros Kesahun, a.k.a. Teddy Afro, is a phenomenon. Born in Addis and currently based out of Atlanta, Georgia, this guy draws stadium crowds in Ethiopia and throughout the Ethiopian diaspora. And I bet you never heard of him. Oh, that's why you come to me, right? To get the real story. Teddy Afro is an upbeat guy. He has a praise song to Bob Marley and one to Ethiopia's Olympic champion athletes. But he's taking heed these days for a political song called Yaste Serial, which looks back on the Selassie and Mengistu years and compares them with life under Ethiopia's current regime. Ever since this song appeared, Teddy's music has been banned from Ethiopian radio. Here's Teddy Afro with Yaste Serial.
Abiot Molachu, it's a Marisa. Jack, yes, the Seria. Jack, yes, the Seria. Jack, yes, the Seria. Jack, yes, the Seria. Passa about Murphy, but the Kama Punta. Little Diago Faro, Sufa Nice, you are.
Ethiopian superstar Teddy Afro with Yaste Serial on Afropop Worldwide's Ethiopia, Diaspora and Return. So, what about rap? No surprise, the most popular genre in Africa today is also alive and well in the Ethiopian diaspora. Here's Keshe Eleme.
Well, there's a whole wave of Ethiopian-American rappers, part of the hip-hop generation. I especially like one cut from a recording of a Burntface International, which is a multimedia collective. They do hip-hop, they do alternative music with an Ethiopian twist. And this particular cut is titled Mela Mela. It's from 1998, and it is performed by The Prophet, and that's P-R-O-F-I-T, Prophet. And it includes a clip of a traditional Ethiopian song, Mela Mela.
Yeah. Another Burntface, JP Labo. What up, what up?
I met this Ethiopian thing, one fifth Italiano, mystic was a queen. I said, Tati is a semi-smile on me. Hey, how you doing? And I asked her her name. She didn't appreciate a brother trying to come up with game. I said, excuse me, I'm sorry, Enikonjo. I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm just trying to flirt with you. Call you on the phone, perhaps chat for a spell. Is it okay if I grab this chair and Gucci bell right here? After a couple minutes, I removed the shell and it was quite clear that she was into me. I noticed intimacy, we talked about everything and nothing, you know, life and phenomenon. She told me she was a refugee, raised by Somalians, and worked at the parking deck at the Holiday Inn. Went to college full time and does part time modeling. Then she asked me how long I've been rhyming, I said 9 years. I got an album on consignment, but enough about me. She liked the type of girl I spent some time with. Maybe we get together on Friday, go to the highway, go to Makato, and I could feed you double. Go to the Queen and she would pop a bottle of Duds. Baby, what's up? You'll let me know when I can pick you up.
The Prophet, that's P-R-O-F-I-T, with the rap version of the Ethiopian classic Mela Mela. Maybe you remember the singer who made that title famous worldwide, Mahmoud Ahmed. Mahmoud is one singer who has survived all Ethiopia's troubles and is still going strong. At the 2005 WOMAD Festival in Reading, England, he and his band stole the show. Here's a taste from a CD called Mahmoud Ahmed, live in Paris. Mahmoud Ahmed live in Paris. Look for that title in our extensive discography of Ethiopian CDs at afropop.org. Georges Codini with you on Afropop Worldwide. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at AfropopWW. Funding for Afropop Worldwide comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art, and from PRX affiliate stations around the U.S. And thank you for supporting your public radio station. You know, listening to the voice of Mahmoud Ahmed fronting a band with a big brass section, it's hard not to feel a little wistful for the golden age, so beautifully documented in Francis Falsetto's Ethiopics CD series. Very few Ethiopian artists are continuing this fabulous tradition. Francis himself is not encouraged by the productions he hears these days, whether in Addis or the diaspora.
I mean, in the past 20, 30 years, it is a pure disaster. It's one-man band, what they call, a synthesizer playing all the lines. Many musicians are discouraged. There are some Ethiopian producers who have tried to make real band, real musician, but it has been discouraged because the market is very small here, in fact. Of course, there are several hundred thousand Ethiopians in America, but it's not big enough to make a market by itself. So the tendency is to make very cheap production. And this definitely cannot cross over.
It also saddens Francis to see so many Golden Age musicians languishing in North America. He says they fled Mengistu's Ethiopia, expecting to find El Dorado.
And it's not El Dorado. The style of life is different. You need to work very hard to make your living when you are in America. The dream of an immigrant is to come back to his country one day. Once he is rich, he can come back, buy a house, open a business, and show off with a beautiful car imported from America. It's very rare the one they can do that, especially among the musicians. This is very sad to observe. I was in DC recently and I met many of them, pop stars, how big they used to be, and here they are stuck among themselves. It's sad also that this music did not cross over, did not reach the American audience in general, you know?
I think when one is dealing with a newly established diasporic community, there is a need to wait and see.
Geshe-re-me.
These are people who are trying to reestablish their lives, rebuild or build new institutions, everything from community welfare organizations to new churches. They are reinventing themselves and their lives, and producing their own music is part of it. I think that the Ethiopian diaspora has been very, very active musically. There are networks, for example, with the sports events. The big soccer event, which was in LA this year, has a big musical component. There is an Ethiopian cultural life and musical life that is very, very lively at weddings, in homes, that it has not yet broken through in a commercial way, in the popular domain, I think is probably to be expected. Although, look at Mulatu Astatke's music in Jim Jarmusch's film last year, Broken Flowers, very, very major appearance of Ethiopian music. The recordings of Gigi, the recordings of Aster have commanded a very wide audience, and they are as much products of diasporic living as they are of the Ethiopian homeland. So I'm not quite sure what one expects of these new communities at any single point in time, but what I see is all sorts of possibilities emerging. And I'm watching with great interest. There is a lot of creativity in the domain of Ethiopian church music. There is a lot of energy in club life, not just Dukum, but other places in Washington, D.C. And it is so lively that there has even been a move, which is contested, by the way, by segments of the Washington community, to rename U Street Little Ethiopia. And that has been problematic because it's a historical African-American musical performance arena, and there is concern that that would be supplanted. But I think just the suggestion that this happened indicates that there is a lot going on musically. I guess the bottom line is I see the glass half full, not half empty, more than half full. Thank you.
We end our tour of the Ethiopian diaspora with a project that both Kay and Francis are very enthusiastic about. The Ether Orchestra is an adventurous jazz band out of Boston. Ever since musical director Russ Gershon began listening to Ethiopic CDs, he began arranging Ethiopian songs for the band. The Ether Orchestra has performed with Mulatu Astatke, Anna Shenkute, the great saxophonist Ketachu Mekuria, and others. When the band played in Addis in 2004, Francis Falsetto was so thrilled with the recording that he included the set as Volume 20 in the Ethiopics series.
This is was the nicest consequence of the work I started, Three Ethiopics. You can find now in many corners of the world music fans taking some Ethiopian tunes just to give their own versions, playing covers of Ethiopian tunes. But what I like in the orchestra, on top of the fact that they are real music lovers and also great musicians one by one, what they did out of Ethiopian classics, it's simply great. Okay, there is a specific jazz blend which is American, but you can recognize Ethiopian music. And I didn't intend originally when I invited the orchestra to perform in Ethiopian Music Festival in Addis Ababa in January 2004. I had not the plan to include this live concert in the series, but the concert was great. The response of the Ethiopian audience was great, incredible, incredibly emotional.
Let's hear an excerpt from this amazing concert, the Ether Orchestra with their version of Mahmoud Ahmed's Mbiba. Orchestra live in Addis Ababa, closing out our hip-deep tour of the Ethiopian diaspora. Thanks to Hana Shenkute and to Dukem Restaurant and Nightclub in Washington, D.C., where we recorded her. Thanks especially to Kay Chelemé and Francis Falsetto for their tireless devotion to Ethiopian music and their help with this program. Remember, you can read our complete interviews with Kay and Francis on our website, afropop.org. My Afropop partner is Sean Barlow. Sean produces our program for World Music Productions. Research, co-production for this program by Banning Air. Our chief audio engineer is Michael Jones. Additional engineering by Mike Kaplan. Banning Air and Savion Biggs edit our website, afropop.org. Our director of development is Mukwe Wabeisi Yolwe. Our director of new media is Savion Biggs. And I'm Georges Collinet.